Let's go ahead and get right into God's word tonight. And before we do, let's have prayer. Father, I thank you, God, just for another Wednesday night where we can be in the sanctuary here in your house. And I have no doubt your presence has gone forth throughout this entire campus. Not only, Father, Lord, are you rich in here, but you're rich, Father, throughout every chapel, throughout every classroom, as the name of Jesus has been lifted high. I pray tonight specifically, God, for the congregation before me, that, Father, Lord, that God, you continue to speak into us. You've already began that in our worship. And I pray, Father, that word, God, will resonate deep within our spirit. I pray that, Father, we'll receive everything, Father, Lord, that you lay before us tonight. And I pray, Father, Lord, when we get to the conclusion of this word and we get into this altar time, that we will not hold back, but we will just believe, God, with a reckless faith, God, that just knows that you can do all things, that nothing is impossible, God, that, Father, Lord, through you, Father, Lord, we can receive all the goodness that you have for us in our lives. You're so good to us. We love you. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we are going to just continue on our study of the Gospel of John. Of course, the title of our series is I Am, because he is the great I Am. Amen. And we'll see those statements a little bit later on in our study. Tonight, I don't believe I'll keep you too long, and so I believe we will have that opportunity to go into prayer not too many moments from now. But we're going to pick up in John chapter 3, verse number 22. Now, as we move forward, the scene transitions from the Passover in Jerusalem to baptisms that are taking place in the countryside of Judea. We find that Jesus is spending time with his disciples, and they are baptizing people as they are coming to them, while at the same time, in the same area, John the Baptist is doing the same with his disciples. And so let's go to the Word of God and see what it says. It says, after this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them, and he was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Enon near Salem, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming, and they were being baptized, for John had not yet been put into prison. Now, discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and they said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him. Well, John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine, it is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, and whoever does not obey the Son shall see life. Not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Let's stop right there this evening. Now, following up from last week, we see here we have some water baptizing take place. We see that water baptism in itself is not salvation, but it is very much an important step of maturity in the Christian faith. Now, also a side note here, and I want you to see this before we really get into it. John's going to clarify in the next chapter, chapter 4, verse number 2, that Jesus himself is not doing the baptizing, but it is his disciples that are doing that. He is just along with them. And here again, in this passage, we see that John the author is bringing up the testimony of John the Baptist. Now, let's think for a minute. We have already seen the heart of John the Baptist as John the author gives witness of him in his opening chapter. We know that John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. We know that he came to prepare the people for the ministry of Jesus and the Messiah. We know that he came to place Jesus at the center of the message. We know that he came to exalt Jesus in every way. We know that he knew his place and position in comparison to Jesus, the Lamb of God. If you'll think with me in John chapter 1, verse 26, he said, I baptize with water, but among you, one who you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie. So he knew his place. He knew his position. Now, why is it that John the author comes back to John the Baptist? Perhaps it is to help us see how the progression of what is taking place in Jesus' ministry impacts the ministry of John the Baptist and how you and I can learn from his response. I just want to look at two things tonight from John the Baptist and how he exalts Jesus. And the first one is this: our identity is defined by our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our identity is defined by our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the subject of the conversation was purification, but the heart of the matter was worry and jealousy. The disciples of John the Baptist, they were concerned that they were losing some followers here. They were genuinely upset of what was taking place. They were saying to themselves, were the baptisms by Jesus' disciples better than their baptisms? What was so different about this? Why were people leaving them to go over to the ministry of Jesus? They were concerned. They were worried. They were upset. They were a little bit jealous. They had the wrong emotions coming up inside of them. Did you notice the words that they used? All. Everyone is going to be baptized by you. Now, why they're baptizing people, they're using that phrase. Everybody's going over here to be baptized by Jesus. How many know we've done the same thing in our lives? When we're upset, we'll use those big words. Everybody's saying this about me. Everybody knows this. They're just upset and they're frustrated. What were they to do? So they come and they present their concerns to their leader. And so how did John respond? Well, by once again turning all of the attention to Jesus. We see here in Scripture that he guided their focus back to the heavens where God, our Creator, is eternally enthroned. And he says to them, everything we have is given to us by heaven. Everything we have is given to us by God. He is saying to his disciples, we are a created people for God's purpose. He is saying we are called by him. Men, we are equipped by him. We are empowered by him. And what we are given is to be used to exalt him and not ourselves. He is saying to his disciples that our relationship towards him and with him is what defines our identity. And I think that's an important thought for you and I to pick up on this evening. Now, we see this in the heart of John again in chapter 1. But as we come back to this, we see the progression that is taking place in his life and in his ministry. Church, understanding and living out this basic principle, I think, is going to do us much good in our lives. You know this. If our identity is defined by the things of this world, such as popularity and fame, we will always be lacking in complete peace and complete joy. Right? If our identity is defined by the things, anything in this world. For them right now, in particular, it was their influence. They were afraid of losing their influence. They were afraid of losing that fame and that popularity and individuals coming to them. They didn't quite understand all that was taking place. These are good men. These are godly men. But inside of them, they were focused on the wrong things. And you and I do the same thing. And if we're not careful in this old world, we'll start to identify ourselves by the measure of things that we have from this world. And the things in this world, whether it be our wealth, whether it be our friendships, whether it be our fame, popularity, or whatever it is, whether it's all of our likes on social media, whatever it is we're aiming for every single day, we will find ourselves always falling a little bit short in having that joy and that peace if we are defining ourselves by the things of this world. Because this world in which we live in is ruled by not Jesus, but ruled by Satan, the prince of the airways. So there's a lot of deception, and there's a lot of darkness, and there's a lot of negative emotion, and there's a lot of anger, and there's a lot of frustration, and there's a lot of hopelessness, and there's a lot of things out there that will try to latch on to you. And if you're not careful, if you are too close with this world, those things will latch on to you, and you will find yourself within not feeling at peace with who you are because you're identifying yourself with the ways of this world. If we identify ourselves with the ways of this world, we will always be lacking in that abundance of peace and joy in our lives. But if our identity is defined by our relationship with Christ, we will find ourselves in the abundance of all he has to offer. Offer our heart and offer our mind and give us a mind of peace, a mind of peace and a heart that is filled with joy, the goodness that we're singing about. I mean, if we identify ourselves in Christ, we will experience that goodness in all of its fullness. Amen? Now, note the illustration that John the Baptist gives in his response. Let's go back to that. He says, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it's given to him from heaven, from our Creator. You yourselves bear witness." He says again, "I'm not the Christ." But notice he says, "The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice." Jesus is the bridegroom. John is just the friend of the bridegroom. He again tells them he is not the Christ, but the messenger sent before him. John is saying, "I'm not the bridegroom. He is not the one who has come to receive the bride. He is not the one who's come to get all the attention. He is not the one that people are going to look to. He is the friend. He is the one who stands as a witness." And Scripture says he is the one who rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Now think about those words. I zeroed in on that today. Think about that. Rejoices greatly. Church, John the Baptist had much joy because the bridegroom, Jesus, had come and all the attention was turning towards him. What gave him true joy? What gave him true peace? What gave him a gladness of heart when people weren't looking at him, but when people were looking at Jesus? Amen? The more popularity Jesus gained, notice the greater joy within the heart of John. You see, his identity, his purpose, his calling, his ministry, his life was filled with the joy what Scripture says in John's testimony of himself was now complete. He would step aside and allow Christ to take center stage. And when Christ takes center stage in our lives, what we see is that peace and joy is going to overflow. I think there is so much truth in that because John is telling us what is giving him the joy inside by feeling the purpose that God had placed within his life. What is giving him joy? What is giving him gladness? What's making him feel good inside? What's making him fulfilled? What is it about it? It's about Jesus being lifted up because John was doing what he was supposed to do. And now his ministry was coming to an end. And Jesus has been exalted. And that's what's given John the Baptist joy. Because John always made Jesus the center of his life. When Jesus is the center of our lives, when we allow him to take center stage in all areas, I believe just like John the Baptist, we're going to find that true joy in which we so long for. We're going to find that gladness. We're going to find that peace. And no matter what it is we're up against, we're going to find that because we've identified ourselves with Jesus Christ. The more we identify ourselves with Jesus Christ, the greater measure of joy we're going to receive in our lives. Amen? So tonight, let's say, for example, maybe there are those here with a heavy heart. Maybe there are those with some things going on in life behind the scenes. Perhaps your friends and those close by you, they may know. But maybe there's individuals and a lot that don't know. Maybe you've come in with a heaviness. If you're not careful, that heaviness can become your focus. And if you allow that heaviness to become your focus, what happens to your joy? It gets depleted pretty quickly, right? The more you focus on the heaviness of life, that joy depletes itself. The more you identify yourself by your struggles, by your challenges, by your difficulties, by your failures, by your mistakes, by the things that you think you're lacking of, anything of this world that you continue to identify yourself with, that joy is always going to be depleted. That gladness isn't going to be there. It's going to be hard for you to really lift up your hands in worship with this joy inside. It's going to be hard for you to really come in here with just a gladness of heart and sing your song with reckless abandon. It's going to be hard for you. Why? Because you've allowed yourself to be identified by those things that are trying to consume you. But yet, if you'll just let Jesus take the center stage of your life, just like John the Baptist, that joy is going to spring up inside of you. That gladness is going to be there. Is it possible for a man or a woman of God who is under the stress of this world to have a heart full of the goodness and the gladness and the joy of the Lord. Absolutely. We can even go back to the Old Testament. I believe it's in Nehemiah. And talks about how important joy is. What does it say? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Is there power in that? Absolutely, there's power in that. Does that help us have the right outlook? Does that help us look at the day in a whole new way? Does that help us face the thing in this world with a prayer of faith, with words of faith, with statements of faith? Does that help us be able to move through that, knowing that we can stand on steady ground, and no matter what, no matter how much the enemy tries to shake us, that we're going to be standing at the end of the day? Absolutely, because the joy inside of us is going to be there as long as we keep Jesus the center of our heart. Keep him center stage. John says to his disciples, guys, hey, it's okay. It's okay that they're going there. They're supposed to go there. You're going to go there. You're going to follow him. We've been doing what God has called us to do. And because we've been doing what God has called us to do, look now what is happening. The next step is happening. The next progression of ministry is taking place. We were here and we were called to prepare the way of the Lord. And now the Lord, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, he has arrived on the scene. And now that he has arrived on the scene, let's make him the center stage of our lives. And as we do, we are going to feel and find the joy and the promise and the peace and the hope and all the goodness that God wants to give us in our lives. When we identify ourselves with our relationship with Jesus, you can count on those type of blessings. You can count on those type of blessings. Now, he goes on to make that powerful statement. He must increase, but I must decrease. And that takes me to my second thought as I read this tonight. Our life should see Jesus increase in every way. For the Christian desiring to mature in their walk with the Lord, I don't know if there's any other statement that cuts straight to the heart as this one does. He must increase, but I must decrease. Man, that's why just a few moments ago in that worship setting, that's why I love moments like that. Because when there's an anointing on that worship, when the Holy Spirit's presence is flowing throughout the sanctuary as God's people come together, as we continue to lift up his name and lift up our song and lift up our voice to him, as we're what we're doing, we're lifting our lives to him, our hearts to him. As we lift those things up to him, what's happening in every one of those moments? We are decreasing and he is increasing. All the junk that's happening in our lives today, that's all decreasing and he is increasing. All the things that's been trying to attack us and bring us down, all that stuff is decreasing and he is increasing. And when it comes to increasing Jesus, that should take place in every area of our lives. The more Jesus increases in our lives, I'm going to stay on this thought, the more peace, the more joy, the more goodness, the more love, the more purpose, the more hope, the more fulfillment that we have in life, in the life that we have been given by God our Creator. The more he increases, the more of that you and I get to experience. The more Jesus increases in our lives, the less room there is for what? Things of ourselves, our selfishness, our pride. And I know none of us like to say we're prideful people. We are all prideful people. In some form or in some manner, we are all prideful people, right? Because no one likes to get it wrong. And when you do get it wrong, you try to justify what you did or what you said. And even though you say you'd never stand up and say, I'm prideful, every single one of us have got pride inside of us. Pride as an individual, pride in our families, pride in our career. There's pride all over the place. We know that. And when we get more of Jesus inside of us, things like that, they just continue to get depleted. And that's what we want, right? Because it's there. The more Jesus increases in our lives, the less room there is for those things, the selfishness, the pride, the jealousy, the anger, the worry, the fear, the doubt, the disappointment, the discouragement. The more he increases, the less room there is for all of that noise. And when I think of it like that, I want more of Jesus in my life. Now, can I be more saved? I can't be more saved. When I believe him, when I accept him, I'm a child of God. He's my Savior. but can I grow? Can I mature? Can I have a heart that's growing? And when we say a heart that's growing, a heart that's filled with joy, a heart that's filled with peace, can that grow? Absolutely. Can my mind grow? Can my thoughts grow? Can everything inside of me begin to grow? Absolutely. So when we say more of Jesus, it's not that we're more saved. It's just that we're becoming more like him and we're experiencing all the goodness that is from him that wants to flow in and through our lives. And I got to tell you, the more I get to know him, the more goodness I feel inside. The more completeness I feel inside. You know, when you're just getting saved and you don't know a whole lot, I mean, you're excited and you're passionate, but you just don't know a whole lot and you're hungry, right? Man, you want to worship. You go and you buy every Christian t-shirt you can find. You get a good Bible that you can understand. You get all your favorite songs and you're going all at it because you just can't wait to get more of him inside of your life. Can I tell you, the more you know him, the more you ought to have that desire to know him even more so. Don't grow stale, church. When you find yourself growing stale, it's not time to change church. It's not time to look for new friends. It's not trying to find a new version of the Bible. It's time to get on your knees and seek the Lord and say, God, refresh my soul through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Lord wants us to do, amen? That's what he wants us to do. Now, was John saying all that to his disciples? I don't know, but that's what's on my heart to say to you tonight. He must increase, but I must decrease. Jesus should always be the center of focus. In whatever area of life we want to talk about, let's make him the focus. If we're talking about our individual passions and desires, let Jesus be the focus. If we're talking about our spouse, our children, let Jesus be the focus. Our careers, whatever it is, let's let him be the focus in all of that. In reading in some of the different studies in which I'm using, I come across Jimmy White's study. That's Jawson's dad, and he's our national men's discipleship director, and they've put out a study in John, and I come across this, and I love the way he breaks it down in these few verses, Jesus increasing in our lives. So I'm going to give that to you. It says this, Jesus should increase, verse 31, because he's above all. Jesus should increase because he knows what we do not know. Jesus should increase because his words are God's words. Whose words do you want inside of you? I want God's words inside of me because God's word is truth and it will always be truth. I can have the words of my friends. I can have the words of those here at church, and all of that is good. I can have some good words placed inside of me. I certainly don't want the words of this world. I want the words of God poured inside of me because that truth inside of me is what's going to make me strong and help me be complete on the inside. Jesus should increase because he is the giver of the Holy Spirit, and he gives without measure, verse 34. Jesus should increase because everything in all creation, it is all his. And Jesus should increase because he is the one who gives eternal life. When we think about that thought, that powerful statement of John, the more Jesus increases in our life, we discover the better us. You discover the better you. I tell you tonight, my prayer is that, Lord, as we continue on as a church, may Jesus continue to increase in this body of believers. May he continue to increase in our individual lives. May he continue to increase in our conversations, in our worship, in our preaching, in our teaching, in our study groups, in our prayer times, in our prayer gatherings, in our ministry, in our clothing benevolence, in our King's Kitchen, in the deliverance of our hot meals, in our campus ministries, in everything that we do in this church. May the name of Jesus Christ increase. And because so, may our hearts be so filled and overflowing with him that spills over out beyond these walls, into our streets, into these homes, into this darkness. May Jesus increase in the area in which we live because of what he's doing inside of all of us. Amen. May he increase in our witness. May he increase in our actions, in our discipleship, and everything about us. May Jesus Christ increase in every way. And may we not let anything try to get in the way of what he's trying to do inside of our lives. Church, you know this. Each and every day, you're filling your mind. and you're filling your heart and you're filling your life with something every day, whether it's what you're watching, listening to, whatever your thoughts may be on, whatever your conversations are like, every day. And you and I know because of that, there's got to be a filter in there, right? That Holy Spirit is the filter. The Holy Spirit helps filter those things that we don't need to be filling our. Some of that stuff needs just to go in and it needs to go out, right? It needs to go in. You know the old saying, garbage in, garbage out. If you're filling your life with garbage, garbage is going to come out. Well, sometimes we don't have a choice and we just got all this garbage bombarding us. Let's let the Holy Spirit be that filter there, that purification process. And let's allow all that garbage just to get out of there. And the things that we're dwelling on, the things that we're putting our mind upon, the conversations that we're having, let's let those conversations be filled with Jesus Christ. And when they are, you're going to see something inside of you that's going to feel really good because it's going to be the fullness of God. It's going to be his joy made complete inside of you. It's going to be the awesomeness of God just flowing through your life because you're filling your life with the things that he offers you. So when I look at this passage now, I want to tell you this, and I've probably said this a few times. These studies, I want them to speak into you, but I also want them to intrigue you because I want you to read and I want you to study and I want you to see what God is speaking to you in your life. But as we look at this as a body tonight, our identity is defined by our relationship with Christ, and Jesus ought to be increasing in every single one of us, right? If he's increasing in our lives, shouldn't our lives continue to look different? Our worship should be even greater. Our prayers should be powerful and effective. Our friendships, the things around us, there'd ought to be a lot of good around that if Jesus is increasing. So my prayer tonight as we get ready to spend time in these altars, may he increase as we decrease. In Jesus' name.